Minerva Radio. Less mainstream, more music.
Greetings from me, Mike Brocken, and welcome to this, our first edition of the series Brock and Roll, here on Minerva Radio, which is just the best independent digital station dedicated to specialist music broadcasting you can find, I would say. As some of you might recall, the Brock and Roll began its life on BBC Radio Merseyside as an occasional programme broadcast at different times across Merseyside's busy schedules. It gradually turned into something approaching a cult. By concentrating on a musical tapestry of delights, not in the main covered by, you know, the mainstream stuff, but or the mainstream presenters, actually, but I was pretty much left to my own devices. So I selected all kinds of hard-to-find classics from not only my own vinyl collection, but others too, and it developed a large audience as a consequence of that. So we have restored it. And for this opening hour or so, I thought I would concentrate on gems from the Island record catalogue of the 1960s and early 1970s. We'll talk about Island a little bit further on. But let's just start with something brilliant. Just brilliant. This is Bobby Parker and Watch Your Step.
Say go somewhere high. Hey, 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 you better watch out.
wonderful stuff. Isn't that great? Bobby Parker's Watch Your Step. Actually, from 1961. It was issued, I think, on V-Tone, and then Sue Records got their hands on it over in the States. Covered by many UK R&B groups live, actually. And at least according to some sources, it was also covered by the Beatles between 61 and 62. Although from my own research into such matters, which has been extensive, actually, I've never come across anybody who could verify that fact. And I think, actually, Tony Sheridan probably performed it in Hamburg. But of course, I feel fine. And perhaps even Day Tripper owe a great deal to Bobby Parker, I would say. I'll go no further than that. I've played it here, actually, because it crops up on the excellent This Is Sue sampler LP, which was issued by Island Records. Do you remember that one? 14 and sixpence worth of magic, all from the US Sun R&B label, with whom Guy Stevens of Ireland had completed a kind of a licensing deal, although whether Sue ever got paid for it, I don't know. Those Ireland samplers were amazing, weren't they? Absolutely amazing. And a very early purchase for me was one which was called, you might remember, You Can All Join In. That contained tracks from the cream of the UK underground of the late 1960s, including one of my favourites. Not a rock song, you might say. Classic psychedelic pop from Nirvana, Rainbow Chaser. The phasing on that is just outstanding, isn't it? Just fantastic. Patrick Campbell Lyons, Alex Spiropoulos, also known as Nirvana, and their 1967 Island hit single, actually, just about, I think it just got into the early 20s, I think, Rainbow Chaser. And it also cropped up on the You Can All Join In Island sampler from 1969. A life changer for the young Brocken, I can tell you. And Patrick informed me some time ago that the original design of that LP, this sampler LP, called for a gatefold sleeve, but production costs flattened that idea. So if you look at the cover photo, it's definitely chopped rather than cropped. You know, there's somebody who's not quite on the picture, but there we are. They didn't quite have the money for that. And of course, we do have to remember as well, those of us who are old enough, that the CBS Rock Machine samplers really started the ball rolling, didn't they? They presented mostly UK-based artists, though. So Islands, You Can All Join In, was the first British underground sampler, really. Okay, let's have another track from it then, in this case. This time, a bit of Spooky Tooth. Spooky Tooth. Do you remember Spooky Tooth? They evolved from the group Art. Fancy calling yourself Art. I mean, that's a bit pretentious to say the least, isn't it? But anyway, Art were formed from the remnants of the mid-60s R&B band from Carlisle, actually, the VIPs. They'd signed to Ireland, actually, in the mid-1960s. And there was one album from Art called Supernatural Fairy Tales with a wonderful sleeve. If you like your psychedelic sleeves, just brilliant, really. And these days it's regarded as a UK psych classic, but it didn't really sell in the late 1960s. It might have been slightly considered out of date, but, you know, still a great classic, really. And a track from Art also featured on You Can All Join In, you might remember if you bought it, their version of Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth, which was oddly retitled What's That Sound? And Art actually recruited the American keyboard player Gary Wright. Remember, he became a big star in the 1970s on his own, especially back in the States. And they changed their name to Spooky Tooth. Sunshine Help Me was their first single in 1968. Fantastic. Okay, staying with the seminal sample, You Can All Join In once more. Let's have a bit of early Jethro Tull. Thank you. vocalist, a very clever band, aren't they? Jethro Tull, a song for Jeffrey from Tull's first album. This was, we featured Mick Abrams as well. And actually, Jethro Tull, you know, were in fact signed to the Chrysalis agency rather than Island per se. Chris White and Terry Ellis, so Chrysalis. And it was they who negotiated a production and marketing deal with Island Records. So they weren't really their band as such, but made several brilliant records within that matrix of Island, really. Okay, let's go back to the Island Sue sampler again for one of, I think, the most powerful blue-eyed soul tracks you're likely to hear. This is Roy Head's Treat Her Right.
I wanna tell you a story every man ought to know. If you want a little loving, you gotta start real slow. She's gonna love you tonight now, if you just treat her right now. Oh, squeeze her real gentle, gotta make her feel good. Tell her that you love her like you know you should. 'Cause if you don't treat her right, she won't love you tonight. If you practice my method just as hard as you can, you're gonna get a reputation as a loving man. And you'll be glad every night that you treated her right.
Lovely stuff. Sharp ending there. Texan Roy Head, who recorded for several US labels during his time as an out-and-out rockabilly cum R&B singer with his band The Traits, T-R-A-I-T-S. Treat Her Right was a sizable hit in the US, actually, but back in 65. So it was included on the sort of This Is Sue album because of its mod credentials at the time. Very, very typical mod favourite down in London in particular, especially at the Scene Club in the West End of London, where typically Guy Stevens was the resident DJ before he started seriously working with Chris Blackwell at Island. And of course, The Who were the resident band at the time as well, at least for a while. And Head, funnily enough with Head, if you listen to later Head, so it's completely different. He went on to great success as a US country scene singer. 1970s, 1980s, had a lot of hit singles over there. A couple of million sellers, I think. But that's the one I like. Treat Her Right. Oh, my gosh. It's one of the best Hays in popular music history. That Hay is just brilliant. I mentioned the Jethro Tull previously means we simply must play a track from ex-Tull guitarist Mick Abrams, as I mentioned before, and his band, Blodwyn Pig. Do you remember Blodwyn Pig? Fantastic outfit. This one of I'm going to play for you now also featured on Island's follow-up sampler LP from 1970 called Nice Enough to Eat. I'm looking at the sleeve now, the one with all the sweeties on the front. So this is Blodwyn Pig from their A Head Rings Out album, the one with the pig on, and Sing Me a Song That I Know.
Yeah. that I know so well. So well.
Brings back some memories for me, I can tell you. Bloodwind Pig there, and a classic track from their first album from 1969, A Head Rings Out, and which was also a standout track on the Second Island sampler, Nice Enough to Eat. You can still pick some of those samplers up these days, you know, if you're looking really closely enough. They sold so well. I think actually You Can All Join In technically got to number one on the album charts, which offended the album chart compilators at the time. And I think as a consequence of that kind of thing happening, they decided to split album sales into full priced and budget, because it was kind of a bit embarrassing at times that they were outselling all of the mainstream full priced albums. But they certainly, as we've said before, they certainly changed a lot of people's ideas about what you can hear and who was playing this stuff on the radio. And more importantly, probably who wasn't. You know, these were popular bands of the day. Abrams, of course, Mick Abrams, it seems, fell out with Ian Anderson musically in Jethro Tull, but he wisely stayed with Chrysalis, so he was able to be promoted still by that outfit. The music's very interesting in Bloodwind Pig, quite progressive, I suppose, but also very heavy, especially with Jack Lancaster's sax playing in there. I think that really makes the band stand out. And Mick Abrams then left the band, deformed, in 1970, I think after too much touring, amongst other things, if you see what I mean. Good band, though. If you don't know their work, dig them out, you know, they're really interesting. OK, something musically different now, but still part of Ireland's classic schedule of releases. I'm sure you'll really know this one quite soon.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder,
ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a beast train. Oh, beast train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump on the peace train.
Yeah, epic sentiments there expressed on Peace Train. Cat Stevens, I don't know if you know this, I'm sure you do, but after being hospitalised for several months with TB back in 1968, he left his previous label DRAM, which was a Decca subsidiary. He changed his personal musical policy as well and signed for Ireland in late 69. Of course, we all know Cat Stevens from his mid-60s successes, don't we? You know, like Father and Son, etc. I Love My Dog, I always thought that was a cracker. But he changed that pop profile, really. He took out a lot of the orchestration from his songs that Mike Hurst had actually put in, the ex-Seeker there. He was a very important producer at Decca. And once he'd signed to Ireland, late 69, as I mentioned, he worked with the former Yardbird Paul Samwell Smith as his producer. Peace Train, though, comes from Cat's third album, which came out in 1971, called Teaser and the Firecat. Do you remember that one? Now, it broke him in America. It absolutely... extraordinary sales over in the States on that in a very, very big way. And Peace Train and Moonshadow. Do you remember Moonshadow? That became a big hit single. Both of them became big hit singles over there for him. Changed his entire profile over in the United States. So very interesting. And I noticed last year he did Peace Train. Did he open with Peace Train at Glastonbury? Anyway, he did it at Glastonbury and it still goes down really, really well. It's such great symbolism, isn't it? Out on the edge of darkness is the Peace Train and it's coming towards us. Well, we hope so, don't we? Okay, here's a slightly later Ireland classic that I have always absolutely loved. I remember seeing this lot in Liverpool many moons ago. So see if you can guess who it is. It's from 1972. The song is entitled See the World Through My Eyes. And check out the voices as a clue. Just check out the voices.
from your room still look the same, or has it changed? Criticize me, then advise me, cross the road to my side, or advise so. Does the dust that you threw still give them pain, or has it changed now?
Superb stuff. Superb. Did you recognise any of the voices there? Well, there's a female singer in there who was previously in a band called Dada. Talk about art, and then there's another one called Dada. Anyway, that was Elkie Brooks. There was a guy there singing who was previously part of the Alan Bound set, who made some great records, actually. Never had much success. Robert Palmer. And finally, there was a guy who was really the linchpin in Gino Washington and the Ram Jam Band in the late 1960s, a chap called Pete Gage. And the band were called Vinegar Joe. Do you remember Vinegar Joe? And Robert Palmer and Elkie Brooks duetting on stage. Just amazing, really. And that was from their eponymous debut Island album. Great later successes for all three. I mean, if you don't know Pete Gage's name, well, actually, he became Elkie's musical director for many years, so he did quite well out of all of this as well. But at the time, Vinegar Joe, they were very highly regarded. They were known, actually, as one of the hardest working bands on the live circuit, on the rock circuit, which is a kind of a double-edged thing, isn't it? So there's always a but that comes after that, isn't there? Well, they're a good band, and you'll have to go and see them, and, you know, they're really great. But they're not selling any records. And that was the case, really. They did sell quite a few thousand albums and were very popular in Europe as well. But they were unable to break in what was becoming, by the early 70s, higher divisions on the rock scene. It was almost like, you know, the Football League. They weren't quite in that top division, really. But great sound, very good working band. And I remember enjoying them. I can't quite remember if I saw them at the stadium, which I might have done, or at Mountford Hall, which I might have done. They probably played both several times, I would think. OK, then, I'm now going to indulge myself a little bit with a track from Ireland's third sampler, the double album called Bumpers. Do you remember that? Do you remember Bumpers? It retailed for £29.11, and this is one of my all-time favourites. Take a listen to this. Thank you. Oh, wonderful stuff. I never get tired of hearing that. It's heavy, isn't it? Really, really good song. Pre-David Bowie's influence, Mott the Hoople, of course, and Thunderbuck Ram, which was from their highly recommended, excellent Island album, Mad Shadows. Really highly recommended to you. And, I mean, I tend to think, speaking as a Liverpoolian as I do, I tend to think that Mott were one of our bands, really. Do you? That they were so good, weren't they? And they came to Liverpool when other people wouldn't come at times and played the stadium. Remember the Triad promotions at Liverpool Stadium? And actually, as big a Free fan as I was, and I'd gone to the stadium to see Free, top of the bill, Mott the Hoople under them. Who else was on that? Oh, I'd gone actually to see Fotheringay, but they didn't turn up, so Trees took their place. It was a great night. But Mott the Hoople, absolutely, I'd have to say, blew Free off the stage that night. It was just incredible evening in 1970. Wonderful. And they knew they did, and they knew that we loved them, so back they came again, and then back they came again. And I suppose they probably gave us a name check in all the way from Memphis, didn't they? Because at one stage, doesn't Ian Hunter sing, well, it's a mighty long way down rock and roll from the Liverpool docks to the Hollywood Bowl. And you look like a star, but you're still on the dole, he says. I just thought they were a wonderful outfit. Fantastic. And if you don't know their album stuff pre-Bowie, check them out. They're really, really good. Mick Ralph's fantastic guitarist. Of course, in this case, Mott's track is representing the fantastic double Island LP sampler Bumpers. Surely one of the best compilations ever made of early 1970s hard rock and progressive rock and folk rock tracks. Incredible, really. All for, get this, as I mentioned before, 29 and 11. Do you know, anybody know what 29 and 11 is? Well, it's nearly 30 bob, which is £1.50, but less a couple of coppers. I mean, what can you say, really? These are the artists, just a quick list of the artists that are on this album. Bloodwind Pig, as before, Mott the Hoople, as we've mentioned, If. Now, if you've never heard If, you should check If out. One of the great British jazz rock groups of all time. Spooky Tooth, Free, Jethro Tull, Clouds, really interesting psychedelic outfit. Renaissance as well, which was Keith Ralph's band after he left the Yardbirds. Sadly, didn't Ralph die on stage, I think? Very, very sad. But Renaissance, Cat Stevens. How about John and Beverly Martin? Quintessence. Now, they're also a band that were very popular in Liverpool, weren't they? I remember Gunga Mai really going down very well in the stadium. King Crimson are on this album too. Nick Drake. Well, you know, there are more 19 and 20-year-olds that know Nick Drake than people of our age, really, these days, aren't there? Fotheringay, as I mentioned before, who didn't turn up, sadly, at the stadium, but I always loved that band. Fairport Convention. Fotheringay came out of Fairport Convention, really. Traffic. And another one that I think was a great band, and they played on that night that Free were blown off the stage by Mott. Bronco, Jess Roden's band. Jess Roden had also sung with Alan Bowne, as had Robert Palmer. Dave Mason, who'd been a member of Traffic and then left. And also, just to remind us all, Jimmy Cliff. And that reminds us of those reggae roots of Chris Blackwell, which we'll discuss in a little while. But the label really was set up for the Jamaican population in this country in the first instance. Okay, speaking of all sorts of island tracks, classic tracks from that era, does this band actually need announcing? I'm not quite sure that they do.
Look at
wonderful stuff, finishing with Simon Kirk. My favourite drummer of all time, I think, Simon Kirk. He's one of those drummers where the sweat drops off him in time. Never mind anything else. Fantastic. That's Free, of course. The title track from the 1970 album release that, you know, really made them, you know, here and in the States, really. Formidable live act. A guitarist of immense talent, sadly, died too early, didn't he, Paul Kossoff? And Free had actually signed to Ireland back in 68, you know. They were only kids, really. And they supported Blind Faith on their US tour in 1969 as well. They certainly got their chops together on that one, I'll be bound. I know Blind Faith didn't, but hence their split. And, of course, you know, by 1970, they had this massive number two hit single all over Europe as well. I remember being in Germany that year and just All Right Now was everywhere. And that was taken from the Fire and Water album too. I don't know if you caught them at that boxing stadium gig in 1970, as we mentioned before. I certainly did. And I'd also seen them at the Isle of Wight Festival that summer as well. They were at their peak, I would say. And if you ever wanted to see them at the Isle of Wight, it is on YouTube. You know, some fantastic clips from the Isle of Wight are free on YouTube. Really, really good. Well, before we play our final track, I just thought I'd mention a couple of things about Ireland that you may not be aware of, because we mentioned before about them being reggae-inspired, ska-inspired, and of course they were originally formed in 1959 by Chris Blackwell on the island of Jamaica. He was an uptowner who was very interested in downtown Kingston music that became known as ska and bluebeat, rocksteady, all of those different names that describe this amazing music that comes out of the island of Jamaica. But by 62, he'd done well in Jamaica, but by 62, he'd recognised the appetite for Jamaican music in post-Windrush Britain. So he moved his operation, very small one-man thing, to the UK, got a loan of $5,000 to get him going. Those are the days, weren't they? And what he did with it, interestingly enough, is purchased a list of 20 major Jamaican music retailers in and around London and Birmingham, and he began to service them by delivering his own product, but also other imports, by his car in a little minivan. So the wholesaling gave him a good business name. He had his first hit as well as a consequence of that with Millie's My Boy Lollipop, which was licensed to Fontana at the time, Philips's subsidiary. And he could continue to see this marketplace really develop over the next year or so. And also he signed the Birmingham rhythm and blues band, the Spencer Davis Group. And of course, the Spencer Davis Group had some amazing hits, didn't they? Keep on Running, Somebody Help Me, Give Me Some Loving, I'm a Man, all of that stuff, you know, came out. He'd also signed the VAPs, who didn't have hits, but as I mentioned previously, later became Spooky Tooth. So I think, you know, the whole area of Island Records is a seminal moment in British popular music history. And out of the Spencer Davis Group came Stevie Winwood, and out of Stevie Winwood came Traffic. And so I'll say fare thee well with them.